Seems to me that this is really a story about the sometimes unexpectedly delightful convergences that can happen in the course of plumbing the varied research resources here at Cornell, in particular the library's collections, which can yield gems sometimes that surprise and thrill even those of us who are most familiar with them.
The Darwin Letter was found among the papers of James Needham, who was a professor at Cornell from 1906 to 1934. Needham was the first person hired at Cornell to be a professor of limnology. In preparation for a symposium celebrating the centennial of the first teaching of this course, we were going through Needham's papers. We had them here in the Kroc Library spread out on a table, and we were looking at the photographs and the letters and other papers of Needham, and in this assemblage we saw this folder that said Darwin Letter in it, which was very intriguing.
We opened the folder. There inside was a single shabby piece of paper, creased where it had once been stored folded, probably in the envelope for years and years, really unprepossessing looking. The handwriting was absolutely impenetrable. Beyond the salutation, my dear sir, we really couldn't read much of the letter at all. Of course, we were dying to know what the letter actually said and whether or not Darwin had addressed the young James Needham. And as it happened, one of the very few people in the world who could help us decipher Darwin's scrawl happened to be upstairs in Olin Library.
It's especially exciting for me to see what's called a new letter. It's actually 150 years old because I work so often with the Darwin material.
It's clear then that Needham was a real fan of Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution by natural selection. And we know now that the letter from Charles Darwin was not addressed to Needham. It was addressed to somebody else. We suspect that Needham simply purchased this letter as a collector's item to recognize that interest.
My dear sir, I have received a multitude of letters about my expression book, but I do not think one has contained so many valuable remarks as yours.
A number of Reeks's letters to Darwin are surviving in an archive. The one that was found at Cornell here is the only letter from Darwin to Reeks, so it's especially nice because it completes the picture of the exchange between a young naturalist and a famous man of science. It's no longer a one-sided correspondence.
I have been particularly glad to hear about the blushing, about the pig's ears. I wish I knew whether boars with well-developed tusks thus move their ears when savage.
Darwin's reply to Reeks indicates his delight with Reeks's observations. He applauded him as being a very good observer, and Darwin was not always so delighted with the observations that were sent to him. What had happened was that when Reeks had read The Expression of the Emotions in Man and Animals, he was inspired to send some of his own observations of human expression and of farm animals.
It is most gratifying to me that my book has interested you.
Something about the very homeliness of the letter made holding it in your hands just an unbelievably moving experience.
With my best thanks, pray believe me, yours very faithfully and obliged, Charles Darwin.